Good morning. Please know as I read this, this is much a charge to me as it is to both of you. The deacon ministry had its beginning in Acts chapter 6. It seems that the apostles were trying to meet not only the spiritual needs of the church, but the material and benevolent needs as well. This was what the Jewish people were accustomed to in their religious background. In the temple, the priests were in charge of the sacrifices and the ministry of the word, while certain Levites were responsible to supervise the maintaining of the buildings, altar utensils, the uniforms of the priest, as well to the welfare and benevolence of the members. The apostles found that they could not be effective in taking care of both the word and deed. They needed others to supervise the temporal things of the church. It is believed that their response was to use the same system that worked so well in the temple, which was to elect seven who were spiritual, lived a godly life, and were mature to supervise this particular business of the church. Acts 6, verse 3 states, "Brothers and sisters, choose seven from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn the responsibility over to them." To be a Christian caregiver, you must possess gifts or traits. Number one, you must be a Christian. You can't share what you don't have. Number two, you must be sensitive. You can't minister to those you don't notice. Number three, you must be selfless. Caring for hurting people is often inconvenient. Number four, you must be patient. Hurting people are not always cooperative. Number five, you must be alert. You have a demanding schedule that will cause you to miss out on the hurting if you aren't alert. Number six, you must be involved. Caring from afar is not an option. Number seven, you must be teachable. As you show your care more, your level of competence will grow. Number eight, you must ever grow spiritually. You cannot help others if you do not remain in the Word of Jesus and have a personal devotion time. The deacons were in charge of caring for the widows, those with no other supports, orphans, the sick, or those otherwise in need. Not one place in the scripture will an individual find that deacons met once a month to make decisions for the church. True deacons met all through the week with other members of the church to take care of the members' needs. They are not to do all the work, but direct or encourage the church members as they minister to each other. The Greek word for deacon is diakonos, which means servant, minister, and server. This is not only the title of the position, it should be the attitude of those who hold it. Gloria and Zach, this is your charge as you serve and minister to your church and community. God bless.
Church, which is the people that belong to the church, not the building. We also have a responsibility to support our deacons, particularly our new deacons. God's called certain men and women to the ministry. They have at least one of the following ministry gifts. Church, today you've requested an ordination of Gloria Trexler and Zach Newman as being called. Just as Paul's charge to the man and woman of God, as seen in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, so is the church given a charge by Paul. This charge is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, in which Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. And live peacefully with each other." Paul gives some commands to the church concerning the church's actions toward those who serve among us. I urge you to do this for Gloria and Zach, who are seated before you today. Respect them, follow them, and love them. Pray for them every day. Ask God to watch over them and give them knowledge and wisdom to lead you. I might also add, communicate with them. If they do not know how to help you or what you need for help, they are unable to do so. Will you as a church body accept this charge, committing to pray for, to esteem, to recognize, and follow Gloria and Zach as they follow the Lord, and as we as a congregation seek the Lord's will for the church? If you will accept this charge, please show Gloria and Zach your support by lifting your hand. Gloria and Zach, if you look back, you'll see everyone raising their hand. At this time, Pastor Joe will come for the touching of the hands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Gloria and Zach, for saying yes to your church, because your church sought you out. You didn't come looking for this. In about a month, you're going to say, what in the heck was I thinking when I did this? And that's okay, because every one of your predecessors on the diaconate have said that at one time or another. What was I thinking? Well, this is one of those places where your thinking is not what's absolute here. It is your call. This is an old, old tradition that we honor today because we're told we should. And yes, our minds have to be involved. Our emotions must be involved. But ultimately, it fades back to our commitment. And you've heard the call, and you've said yes. You will not regret that decision. This church is going to be just so blessed because your leadership, but inversely, you're going to be so blessed because of this church giving you this opportunity. It really works both ways. Now, I want to share a passage before we turn the remainder of our ordination time over to the laying on of hands. And that passage comes from the 22nd verse of 1 Timothy chapter 5. What's happened here preceding this verse is the church has been encouraged to be faithful to the people God has set apart. The church has been told, be kind and generous with them and supportive of them and pray for them. And then in verse 22, it says, be in no hurry to lay hands on people to dedicate them to the Lord's service. In other words, don't just do this. Think it through. Well, the church was given really months to think it through. And they thought of the two of you. So we're going to do what the scripture tells us we're supposed to do. We're going to lay on hands. Again, it's an ancient tradition and an important one. I'm going to ask you, Gloria, and you, Zach, if you will, right now, go ahead and take your seats here. And church, in just a moment, just to bring order to the process we are in, if you would please, make your way from where you are to the middle and come down this way, and you may lay hands upon them. No person is required to do this. Don't feel like, oh gosh, I have to. There might be constraints. There might be physical constraints or otherwise that would keep you there, and that's perfectly acceptable. But if you feel so compelled, if you feel called to lay hands upon the called, you may do so. Just as a last moment of instruction, if you're saying to yourself, what would I say? On Pentecost Sunday, let's trust the Holy Spirit. By the time you get here, you'll know exactly what God wants you to say to these two called. As the Lord so leads you, you in this time of quiet, make your way to the middle and down to greet your new deacons. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, in the power of human touch. We thank you, O God, that there was nothing magical here, and yet it was all magic as we experienced your Holy Spirit radiating from one human to another, from our hands to their shoulders and heads. Oh God, we thank you today that you showed up. Bless Gloria and Zach for the remainder of their lives, that their Christian witness, oh God, will go strong and will be light for all of us. But in this next time of getting used to the idea of who they are as deacons, I pray, oh God, that you'll come closer than they've experienced in a long time and be dearer than they have known. Bless their families, oh God, for we know this involves them as well. And we pray, oh God, that you'll be with them with peace and patience. And bless this church as we bless others in your name, O God. Amen.
Hi, I'm Terry Clark. I just wanted to say a little bit about this church that's done so much for me. I was born in Peru, and my name was Juan Lozabio Lozano Aviles. But my parents that adopted me at half a year flew me back to Pennsylvania, and we grew up in Los Angeles. And then when I lived in Arizona when I was 38, I came out to Asheville. I was ready to change my life, but I didn't know how much. I just wanted to, you know, kind of get away from the madness of the desert. But I married a great woman, and I came to this church, and things just started happening, you know. And I wanted to let everybody know, it doesn't matter who you're voting for. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. It doesn't matter really a whole bunch of anything. All I know is that I come to church on Sunday. I got some great friends here, and everybody reminds me of people in my past. Family, friends, high school friends, everybody. It's just a magical place. And I just was thinking the other day, I was like, you know what? I've got lifelong friends here, and what have I done for you, God? What have I done for you lately? You know, so I guess it's a good time to pray. Please bow. Father in heaven, help me open up a little bit. Help me be more of me, and or be more of you and less of me, because sometimes that's hard. I want to give a lot, and I want to give right. And I want to just be a better person every day. I wake up and I think about how I screwed up, you know, last week, but then I want to be better this week. You know, I don't want to say what I said last week. I want to say something better. I want to be better. And I want to give it to you, Lord. Help me. And please pray for all the people that are sick and hurting and unsure and stressed out and non-decisive. And Father, just help us all and help us love each other. And that's the main thing. We need to communicate and we need to come together. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages, as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because all of them heard the believers talking in their own languages. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done. Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes, and then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved."
From John 3. Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I am telling you the truth," replied Jesus, "that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised, because I tell you, you must all be born again." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
One of the many ministries that goes on in our beautiful neck of the woods. I'm reminded all the time that there are people who save money all year long so that they can come and spend 5 or 6 or 7 days in our mountains. We live in a most amazing place. One of those great ministries is First Step Farm. First Step is doing a magnificent job helping people struggling with addiction to move beyond that. I was over doing what I do 6-8 times a year, buying plants or Christmas trees or watermelons or whatever it is. And I'm so grateful for Ken, who directs the work at the retail store on Smoky Park. And he said, "Joe, would your church like some hanging baskets?" And I said, "That'd be great, but, you don't need to do that." No, we want to do that. And he commented on you. He said, "Your church does so much to help our community." And coming from that ministry, that was amazing. In the process, he gave our church 15 hanging baskets, 5 of them hang in our courtyard, being enjoyed by our day stay clients each and every day. The other 10 are here, or actually the other 9. I took one of them and gave it to a man in our community who was here on Easter Sunday. It's his only time to visit with us so far. But he's a man who could just really use a boost right now, and what a joy it was when I tapped on his door and he came and I said, "You know, this is from First Step Farm and from Hominy Church. We just want to let you know you're on our mind. I'm wondering if there are 9 of you who would take 1 each of the remaining 9 hanging baskets. If you go through these doors and turn left into the sanctuary lobby, in the windows you're going to see 9 hanging baskets, and they are numbered 1, 2, 3, 4 on through 9. Here are cards. They are numbered 1 through 9. I've asked the prettiest girl in the church to help me distribute these. Corinne, come here. And when they're gone, they're gone. Raise your hand. Who? Right here's one. What, okay. I better not instruct her on how to do this. Leave those hands up until she finds you. And whatever your number is, just go find that hanging basket with that number and pick that up. And you know somebody already, they're on your mind. I need to take that basket to this person. And I hope today that you would take that basket and let them enjoy that beauty starting now. All right. Do you have others? Okay, we've got one, two, three. How many more do you have, honey? One more? Okay, that'll go to Karen. Okay, that's all. And thank you. I knew you'd do that quickly. I knew you'd want to participate in that. I also know none of you want me to start a sermon at 5 minutes after 12. So I'm not going to. I kind of feel like Terry Clark preached the sermon this morning. And that touched my heart, Terry, but didn't it touch yours? We are so blessed, Terry. When you and Julia found us, I think you both have told me that we became a gift to you. I just hope you understand what a gift the two of you are to this church. You make our lives better, our ministry better. You folks probably don't know this, but Terry loads up his car with bottled water and food and so forth, and he goes downtown on weeknights and weekends, and he just finds folks who look like they're hungry or thirsty and need somebody to say, I care about you, and he hands that stuff out. No, you didn't ask me to do that. He does it because that's where his heart directs him to go. Sounds like a Holy Spirit thing to me. This is Pentecost. I'm going to put my sermon away and say to you that if the Holy Spirit that we talk about in Scripture descending upon the church has descended upon you this day in some form or fashion, if the Holy Spirit has spoken a fresh word to you, then maybe today you just don't need a sermon. You just need room to respond. That sermon will be fresh next week. But something fresh may be happening here with you right now. And you just need room to respond. This is your moment. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God in heaven, I praise you for my church family. I praise you that they make my life rich. I praise you, oh God, that they have raised up my children to be people of God. I praise you that they have blessed my home so that Corinne and I know where our strength is. And I praise you, oh God, that your Holy Spirit that descended 2,000 years ago upon that first church descends even today. And we pray upon this church. And if you are at work, oh God, whatever it is you're up to, let us say yes. Let us say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.